I want to read a few scriptures and then make some observations before we partake together. I'm going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Reading some scriptures that express the goal of communion, fellowship, or joint participation. That word communion can be, that's the idea of the word communion. Fellowship, joint participation. It's inherent in this ordinance. And you see that in the scriptures that refer to it. I'll read 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the fellowship, the joint participation of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. Let me leave out the italicized words there. For we, many, are one bread, one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Over in chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So you come together for something. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It should be, but it's not. It's not your attitude. For in eating, everyone takes before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another's drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Matthew records Jesus saying, drink you all of it. Not the whole cup, but all of you drink. In other words, it was a community activity, fellowshipping, joint participation. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning, not rightly distinguishing, judging the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. John 17, let me just read 3 or 4 verses from the prayer of Jesus. John 17, as he prays for those which will believe through the word of the apostles, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. I'm wanting you just to hear the language of fellowship here, communion. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Our gathering and participation in this ordinance tonight is symbolic of something far greater and should be viewed and participated in with the level of seriousness and respect that it deserves. This is an ordinance for the church meeting as a church, not primarily for private personal expression, but for joint participation, communion, fellowship together as one. Many members, one body. It hit me this afternoon as I was preparing. I'll say it was an emotion, because it was, but it was that sense of love for the brethren. I was looking forward to being with you tonight to express together our relationship in Christ. And this ordinance reminds us of our joint participation in the death and resurrection life of Christ with other blood-bought, baptized believers. It looks back to what Christ did for all who are given to Him by the Father. It affects us presently as we commune together. And it anticipates what is yet to come, the eternal fellowship of all saints. And this is the glory of Jesus Christ that the Father has promised. We're participating in that. The fullness of that is yet to come. But this is the glory of Jesus Christ. And we saw that when we were going through 2 Thessalonians repeatedly. Several times it was mentioned. It's a big deal. And it's the Holy Spirit that's putting it together. The Holy Spirit is, we might even use this language, He's pulling it off. He's the one that's operating. He's the one that's dealing with us, ministering to us. And as we'll see, not tonight, but in another message, very much with us. Think about looking back. While there's nothing in this ordinance that leads to salvation, or to being more saved than you already are, it is expressive of the nature of our salvation. It's expressive of what we understand salvation to be, or who our salvation is in. His body broken, His blood shed, our guilt gone. It's as simple as that. Oh, it's complex. It's deep. There's many things that can be said. But it's as simple as that. So tonight, you are receiving the bread and cup much like you received the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as, but as many as received Him. If you have received Christ, walk in Him. You've received. That's faith. That's taking what has been given to you. And isn't that what we're doing tonight with this bread and this cup? We are receiving that which is symbolic of Christ, His body, His blood. Your receiving doesn't give power to the blood of Jesus Christ. When you believed, when you received Christ in faith, you didn't give power. You were receiving that which had already been accomplished. And so partaking of the bread and cup is an expression of your faith in Him, whose body was broken and His blood shed for you. So if you're properly discerning or distinguishing this bread and cup tonight, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, as representing the body and blood of Jesus, then where's your mind going to be as you take that bread and as you take that cup? Your mind is going to be upon Him, with thanksgiving for His substitutionary sacrifice for you. And we pray. We long, and I pray and long, that the Spirit in me and in you and with us tonight will bring an intensity and a light to the reality of what is being symbolized. And you're doing this with your brethren, for whom He also substituted Himself, as we partake together. So that's looking back. We remember Him. But then there's a present effect. And while there's nothing life-altering that is communicated through the bread or the cup, there is life impact by the Spirit-produced faith connection that your soul makes with Christ as you remember Him. Can you remember Him and not be affected? I mean, can you really remember Him and not be affected? You see, He didn't die and arise as merely an ancient historical fact. Oh, it was. It is an ancient historical fact. But His Spirit unites us in Him and Him in us right now, in real time. A mystery, but it's true. You see, when He died, I died with Him. But Paul said, I'm crucified. I've been crucified with Christ. You say, I don't understand that. I don't know how that can be. Well, we're joint participants tonight. I don't either. That's what He says. And so there upon that cross, He bore my name. He knew me. He knew you. You were with Him. When He arose, I arose with Him. That's what Romans 6 tells us. And now we sit together with Him in heavenly places. Right now. Tonight. You see, this is true at all times. And I trust that your soul enters into that reality in the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you, aids you from day to day, to dwell, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. If you're risen with Christ, you see, you are seated with Him in heavenly places. That's true always. But tonight we bring special attention to that reality. We bring special attention to Him together. Remembering who you were without Him, as we saw this morning, and now who you are in Him and Him in you, should revive a fresh sense of your identity and draw out our hearts toward Him. That should be the present effect of our partaking together tonight of these elements. Let me ask you, are you depending upon me right now? Are you in tune with the Spirit of Christ right now, who is in you? Is she alive in you? And so as we come together, we are expressing unity. In fact, what I just said ought to be true of every single one of us. There is a sense in which there is an interdependence upon one another. The Scriptures teach that. And that's part of what this communion and joint identification is. It's we doing this together. But it's we not depending ultimately on one another. It's a dependence upon the Christ, the same Spirit who indwells each of us. And while partaking of these elements with other believers does not make you one with them, it expresses your oneness. And so that ought to say something to you and to me. If it's expressing our oneness, then that requires something of us, doesn't it? And we read it, 1 Corinthians 11, a major point of 1 Corinthians 11, because that was a major problem in the Corinthian church. There was not a proper expression of oneness in their relationships. It requires then that we come together with a proper spirit of unity. Not unanimity, not in full agreement on everything. That's not the point. But one together in Christ. And dealing with any known matter of offense, so that there is no irreconcilable difference. Listen, between believers, there is nothing called biblically an irreconcilable difference. By that I mean that which keeps you divided, separated, unable to commune together. You see, what we are expressing here tonight is our unity together in Christ that Jesus prayed for in John 17, which I am certain that He had an expectation as He prayed that there would be some measure of experience of that in this life, because He said, the world will know that I came down from above. So that's not just a heavenly future view, but I believe, and as He continues in that prayer and concludes, it is ultimately experienced in the end. Yeah, there's going to be a perfection in the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And that's what we're headed for. But right now, the ordinance administered in this church is representative of that which we will enjoy by imperfection. Experientially. Can you imagine that? Can you even imagine that? Never having a tense spirit in you because of something somebody has said or done, and just seeing one another and absolutely being amazingly thankful, together with one another for who and what we are in Christ. He did that for me. He did that for you. I am not better than you. You are not better than me. We're His. We're His. True, we are one. We are one. We are one in Christ positionally. We will be one in perfect and glorious experience in heaven. And to the degree that we experience that kind of unity here at Community Baptist Church, the unity that we are expressing tonight, as we break that one bread and partake together, to that degree we are experiencing this aspect of heaven on earth. You want heaven on earth? Well, there's more than one dimension to that, but that's one of them right there. And wouldn't you agree that in those moments or seasons where there's absolutely nothing hindering our relationship, isn't that really a really, really good place to be? So tonight, each one of us, by the way, we should endeavor for that. You know, the scriptures say that. That's what we should be aiming for. So each one of us tonight partakes. Who partakes? Has confessed our union with Christ through baptism. We've already expressed that. You are one with Christ. That is, I am one with Christ. We express that through baptism. We evidence Christ in us individually by the fruit of His righteousness being demonstrated in our lives and our love for one another. That's an individual expression. But tonight, this is more than individual. We are confessing our corporate unity in Christ as we remember Him together. You see, if it was just about you and your unity with Christ, you wouldn't have come tonight. You could have just broken bread in your bedroom by yourself. But that's not the way Christ told us to do it, because it's not just about you and it's not just about me. It's about us together. So tonight, let's partake of one bread as one body. And let's drink of this cup as joint participants of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have come together in the church. Now let us express our fellowship in Christ. Amen. May the Lord help us to do that.